Good to see y'all. Thanks for coming out tonight. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 148. I was thinking of a different, completely different message for tonight, and then it was going to be in Romans, and I thought about this one, so I made a change this afternoon. Aggie and I served over in France for about 6 years, and this Psalm 148 was basically the first real message that I prepared in the French language, which was probably pretty rough at that time. It's really stuck with me ever since. It's a beautiful psalm about praise. Praise ye the Lord. I'm going to read the first 13 verses, then we'll have a word of prayer and have ask the Lord to, you know, through the Holy Spirit, be our teacher and open the scriptures to us tonight. So let's begin reading in verse 1, Psalm 148, verse 1. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens and ye waters that be above the heavens. Verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Verse 11, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can open the scriptures tonight. Thank you that we have, that the churches in America are still preaching the gospel and opening the Bible and saying, thus saith the Lord. And we pray that you'd strengthen all the churches and preachers in America that are doing that, and the dear Christian folks that attend and serve in those churches, Lord. Thank you that you preserve your word for us, and these words can be a comfort to us, an encouragement to us, Lord. And we pray that you would open the scriptures to us tonight that would speak to our hearts, Lord, that we'd have a relationship with your word and with you, Lord, that you'd reveal these spiritual truths to us, and that they would work, you know, just work in our being, Lord, that we'd be better servants, Lord, and more able to praise you and glorify you. And we pray, seek a blessing on all those that came out tonight, those that couldn't come, Lord. We seek a blessing on them. And we ask this now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, this psalm here is a very interesting psalm. And you notice that it begins in verse 1 with praise ye the Lord. And then in the last verse, verse 14, it also ends with praise ye the Lord. And if you were to kind of examine these last psalms in the last Psalm 146 through 150, you'd see that they all begin with praise ye the Lord and they end with praise ye the Lord. And you can see the emphasis that's put on us praising him. And one of the things that we have to call our attention to is that praise has to be sincere for his children to really bring glory to him. And, you know, have you ever met people that they say Christian words just as kind of a reflex kind of thing? You say, you know, oh man, I had something bad happen to you and somebody hit my dog. Oh, amen, praise the Lord, you know, without even thinking about it. That's not the kind of praise we're talking about here. We're talking about a sincere person that knows God Almighty, praising him for his wondrous works. And so when we look at this psalm, we think of it, I like to think of it this, over in the Louvre Museum in Paris, which is a huge museum, which houses the most, you know, famous painting in the world, the Mona Lisa. Now, you'd think that's a big painting, but it's really not a huge painting. But when you go in the room and you see that it's all protected and there's all these people in there and they're holding, you know, they're doing everything to see it. And, you know, you're like, this has got to be important, you know, and you realize that. But they also have paintings that take up like this whole space right here. And they're giant paintings. And my wife was thinking one of them was like a Noah's Ark, was one of the paintings there. And I like to think of this psalm kind of like a big giant painting that the Lord is showing us here. And he's using all creation. He's painting a picture of all creation. All of creation has should praise him is the idea behind it. Those that can as human beings, the heavenly, and also his creation itself. And that happens through, it's just the beauty and majesty of it when we recognize that there is a creator that willfully did that and designed that and built that and made that for us. It praises in that sense of just manifesting itself in what he did. And so we have to have a praise that is sincere and from the heart, based on relationship with our God. It has to be that way. Unsaved people are not going to understand this, what we're talking about tonight. And you think about Thanksgiving. Things that we should do is we should praise him, we should be thankful, we should be grateful. You know, all those things like that. And do you ever think about it, that it takes for us to be thankful? Maybe some of us are generally thankful, but we have to think about it. You know, we have to take time and meditate on the things that God has done for us, and then we can thank and praise him. Well, when in this psalm here, he's talking about praise, and he's talking about his whole creation praises him. That's what it should do. Those that have free will, like us as human beings, have the opportunity to praise him or reject him. Praise the Lord. I'm sure most, if not all of us in here, have received the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and we understand this, the importance of this. But it's emphasized in these psalms, and there's a little outline in here that you'll see if you were to break this down. Now, for you preachers out there, you know how we read things. We look in terms of messages, you know, and we look at outlines, and hey, that's a 3-point, that's 2-point, here's an illustration. And sometimes we have to stop all that and just read what it says, you know, and grasp it and say, what's it saying to me? But there is a little outline here, and we can see that in the first verses 1-6, we see that this praise is to come from the heavens. In other words, above the earth, the heavenly creation. And that's from the heavenly host, the stars, etc. And we see that through verses 1-6. And then we see a second breakdown or a second point here found in verse 7, where it says, praise the Lord from the earth. And then we see the breakdown of his creation in the earth here. The animals and different things. Even the elements are mentioned here. And then, of course, kings of the earth, etc., all people. And so you see kind of a 2-point natural outline from the scriptures here. Now I'm going to read another verse to you, and this is found, you don't have to turn there, but this is found in Psalm 33, and here's what the Bible says in verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. It's comely for the upright. It's comely for us to praise him and to have this relationship to him where we recognize that he's worthy of praise and that we willfully do that. Now, there is a verse I'll ask you to turn to, and that's in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, if you wouldn't mind turning to the last book of the Bible there. And once, if we can grasp this truth right here from this verse, this message will come to life for us. You know, we live in a world where things are about individuals, you know what I mean, or them and theirs kind of thing, their group or whatever. You know, we live in a very selfish, self-centered, hedonistic society, a world, not just America. But for Christians, if we can realize that we've been created with a purpose, and that is to praise God, and it's not just humans, but it's his whole creation. And so here's what the Bible says in verse 11 of Romans chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. The first thing is he is worthy to receive those things. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, notice this, for his pleasure, for thy pleasure, they are and were created. So when we grasp that, what's the purpose of our life is to do that? We think that, you know, I mean, great part is he allows us to enjoy things and have things and possess things and have relationships and all these things, but ultimately his creation was to do what it says here. And as Christians, we have the capacity as his children to do that, to praise him properly. But it's got to be a sincere praise from the heart. It can't be phony stuff. It can't be just words we say. We have to mean it. And like true thanksgiving, we have to think about it. And that's what this psalm does, is it calls our attention to the scriptures and shows us through divine inspiration and preservation here that all of his creation is to praise him. And we have that opportunity and ability to do so. You know, we're living in a world where a lot of churches today are what I call entertainment churches. They're not all, but a lot of your large churches are built on entertainment and personal pleasure. And that attracts people because it's very close to the world that they're living in. And it attracts them to it. But God is looking for something different. He's looking for a people that are unique, they're different. They're a called out assembly, they're a called out people unto him. Not weirdos, but his children that are to live differently. And one of the key things is that we should praise him for what he's done. Now we find in the first verse here of Psalm 148, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Notice it's plural. And of course we know from the scriptures, Paul was talking about knew a man caught up to the third heaven, the abode of God, beyond anything any telescope will ever see. You know, any kind of thing they can build will never see the third heaven. And we see that heaven is laid out before us here. And in these six verses, it's dealing with the creation that's their realm. We see that it says that in verse 1, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise ye him, all his angels. Now we're talking about those created beings that were created to worship him. Of course, we know that there was a third of them that fell with Satan and chose to rebel against God and are really the enemies of us. And all goodness and righteousness, they're the enemies really of mankind. But the angels that chose to worship him, praise him and serve him, and are a wonderful testimony. And they have a ministry to us today, and a ministry, you know, for God in the world. And there's a, you know, we could develop a whole message on that. So they praise him. Verse 2, praise him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. I mean, who hasn't looked up in the sky in a star in a very clear night and just looked up there and maybe saw the Milky Way there and you see all those thousands, that's not even the right word, whatever it is, we don't even know, of stars up there. And I'm saying that they're just that speaks to us and praises them. In fact, we know from the scriptures from Romans chapter 1 that the very first revelation to mankind is the very creation of God to reveal himself to man. And I used to think that man was innately religious in the wrong sense. They'll always worship something. But I recently came to this thought about it, and maybe some verses that contradict it that you might think of, but I thought about it differently. God reveals himself to man, and man willfully rejects that truth and worships something else as a result of rejecting the light that he has. And so we see, when we study the scriptures, we see that throughout the scriptures, creation keeps coming up. It keeps coming up. It's referenced often and frequent in the scriptures. And we know that we live in a world where they used to talk about the theory of evolution, and now they present it as just fact with just, they don't understand it all. I present to you today that if someone can believe the very first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, they're a very good candidate to be saved, because they can accept that he created. Yeah. And then when you present to them that you're a sinner, and you can do that from a lot of verses, you can show them the news and show them that. You can look at Romans 1 through 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If they can receive the fact that there is a God that created, they can receive a message that there is a God that loved man and sent his son to die for him. And so, boy, what a key thing. I think that preaching should include messages on creation, because it's widely in the scriptures. Repetitive messages are in the scriptures about him creating, the creation. And in this psalm here, it's clear that he's showing, kind of like painting a huge picture, the heavens and all the heavenly host and all the things that entails should worship him. And then he pulls it down to the earth that we understand, and everything down here should praise him. That's right. Boy, I don't know about you, but I constantly hear man cursing God, cursing him. Now, from a person who knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior, you think to yourself and you say, out of all the stupid things that we could do would be to take God's name in vain? And yet that's the first thing. You know, someone might drop a simple pin and there's like this anger wells up in them. They have to curse his name because they dropped some pen or blame him because something went, you know, they didn't like how something went. It's just a reaction of mankind. But we, as his children, we should spend some time of thinking about this idea of praising him. Something that's tied closely to that would be worship, right? Worship, what does that mean for us to worship him? Is it entertainment? Is it bands? Is it things that make us feel good in our flesh? Or is it recognizing that we serve a God who created all things and loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son to be our Savior? Man, that'll put you in a place to worship and praise him when we think of that. And so we see that, and do you know there's a thing called the Southern Cross in the Southern Hemisphere? We can't see it here, where stars line up in the heavens, and I've got like an atlas of the stars, and they have like a little line showing you, but sure enough, there's stars that are lined up that, you know, if you look at it, it'll look like a cross to you. You can't see it from where we're at, and one of these, that's kind of on our bucket list one day to go see it. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but the Southern Cross, a testimony from the skies. And that calls our attention, if you would, to Psalm 19, if you turn there for a moment, Psalm 19. It's a wonderful text here. Wonderful text. The Bible says in verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Now, when you think of a declaration, like the Declaration of Independence, it makes a statement. So the heavens make a statement to mankind, and they declare, and not just mankind, but I mean his whole creation, they make a declaration of the glory of God and the firmament, the atmosphere that we see, the clouds and all those things that we experience. We look at them, we say, man, they're just, this is incredible. They're just beautiful. They show his handiwork. You know, handiwork means an evolved thing that he did. He made it. And then in verse 2, "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." There's this testimony that's always going forth from his creation. It's testifying that he's real, that he exists, and it even testifies of his Godhead. But it's also praising him when we look at his creation. I mean, what a glorious thing to look up in the stars and say, I mean, it just blows our mind as a human to think. I mean, it's just amazing. But it takes a moment in time in our busy life to stop and look up and say, praise the Lord, he did it. He made it. It goes on and says in verse 3, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." The testimony that we see here. "Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race." Verse 6, "His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit under the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Now, we won't look at this tonight, but if you were to examine verse 7 and continue on, you'd see now the concentration goes on to the law of the Lord, the word of God, and the testimony of the word of God and what it does. In fact, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And it goes on and tells us these wonderful things about the word of God. And like Pastor was talking to us today, you know, we've really got to have a relationship with this book. We've got to read it, all of us. We've got to study it. We've got to think about it. We've got to spend time with him. And when we do that, it'll put us in this place of where we want to praise him. Amen. Yes. We want to worship him, and we will be thankful. I mean, it's amazing if you think about it. If you turn back to Psalm 148 for a few more moments here. So we see in verse 4, "Praise ye him, heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." I mean, there's all this going on that's just, you know, amazing. clouds and rain and all these different things that happen. Verse 5, "Let them praise the name of the Lord." Notice this. "For he commanded, and they were created." This psalm is calling all our attention to the creator and the creation that's to praise him. Yeah. And some of it, by virtue of his creation, just praises him. But man has the possibility of praising him or rejecting him. So we see in verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever, and hath made a decree which shall not pass. And then we see this division in this psalm. We see now he brings his attention and his creation. He's, you know, think of this big painting. We're drawing it. We've got the angels, and we've got the stars and the moon, and we've got all this, the clouds, the atmosphere, everything going on here in this painting. And now he brings it down to earth here, and he starts painting more. Think of this wonderful painting, you know, this huge painting. And he's putting all of his creation on there is what he's doing. He's illustrating it. He's showing us from his creation. Now, if we take that very first revelation of him in the beginning, God created, and we reject that, how can someone receive these other things that the Bible says? So it's foundational that a person, when they're presented this, believes that God created. It takes way more faith to believe that this just happened. Because this building just didn't happen, right? And this world just didn't happen either. Or it didn't happen through millions of years and all these different explanations. No, there was a creator God, who willfully made it for his glory and praise. And we have a part in that as his children. And what is it to know and praise and worship him and have a relationship with him? Man, that's powerful if you think about it. Verse 7, we see this division. Praise you, the Lord, from the earth down here, ye dragons and all deeps. I think about going as far as you can go down in the earth, you know, in the ocean somewhere, the deepest channel there is, you know, we're going down to that level. We've talked about the creation above. Now we're at that level. We're going down, 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 all the deeps. And then we see in verse 8, fire and hail, snow and vapors, these elements. You know, we see storms, and sometimes they're really destructive, and they can harm us. But there's times when we look at something and we see the majesty in some of these things too. Sometimes it's obviously probably a judgment or something, but we see that even in the elements, they praise him, fire and hail and snow. The snowflake praises him. If you were to look at that in a microscope and see the beauty and intricacy of that, that just didn't happen.
Right.
Kind of like our fingerprint, kind of like our DNA. A creator God made that.
Right.
And he made us unique, and he made us to know him personally. And that relationship is accomplished through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's not accomplished by us being good boys and girls. It's not accomplished by us going to church or being baptized or being nice people. It's accomplished because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Right.
And the moment we trust him, now we have the capacity to really praise him and know him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I find it terrible when I hear people cursing the name of the Lord. You know, just like, oh man, you just hate to hear that. I have this thing I've done in the past, and I need to do it more, is when I'd hear someone do that, I'd automatically just say this, Lord, save them. That's what I would say, you know, not that, so they could hear it, but probably be good if I did. I knew a new Christian. Sometimes new Christians are pretty bold. It was a lady, and she told me that what she said before was, are you praising him or cursing him? When someone took the Lord's name in vain, that's what she just said to him. It takes a little boldness, maybe the boldness of a new Christian to say that. Are you praising him or are you cursing him? And hopefully they thought about it.
Yeah.
Why would you curse God? You know? So in verse 7, it's from the earth. It begins with the dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail and snow in verse 8, vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word. You see him as having the control. Mountains and all hills. Now you're coming up. You're painting this big picture of his creation. We went down to the depths of the ocean. Now we're coming out. We're coming to the tops of Mount Everest, top of Mount Everest and the highest peaks and hills. And we're looking at that in his creation now. And what we're seeing is that this creation encompasses everything that we know. And things we don't know. DNA always existed, didn't it? We just didn't know about it. And a lot of things were like that. So we're going up, up, up to the tops of the peaks now. Verse 9. And then we see in verse 10, now he goes to the animal life. He goes to the beasts. And we could define that by lions and tigers and elk and deer and all kinds of things that would, you know, that we could think of. And some of us have different interests. Like, I personally am really freaked out by bats. I can deal with snakes and bugs and weird stuff, but bats, I'm out of here if one flew around in here right now. I'll leave it up to you guys to take care of it. But they have their place and they have their praise to their creator, not in verbal words, but in the uniqueness of their creation and the fact that he created them for a purpose. So we see beasts. Notice this, verse 10, all cattle. So when you're driving around, you see some cattle, you might think, well, there's just a steak. Oh, it's much more than that, although I like steak. I had one this week, actually. New York Strip was pretty good. Yeah, down at the Coeur d'Alene Resort. But you look at things differently. You look at those animals and you say, he created them. And they're unique and they're different. And they're geniuses in their own right and what they know. I always marvel that, like, a dog, man's best friend, they'll eat your last meal and drink your last water, but they love you. They know if someone walked in your yard, but they run in front of cars. But they're geniuses in what they know. But when you think of those things, you marvel at them. But when you realize that there's a creative hand of the creator behind that, it gives you a reason to praise him. And you can look at all levels of his creation and see that. That's the message here. All levels of his creation should praise him. Some of it do it just, they don't have the possibility of the, you know, the knowledge and free will. They're just things that he's made, but because of what they are and what they do, they praise them automatically, in other words. When we look at them, we look at the stars. I mean, they're not talking to us, but we say, wow. It brings praise to them and glory to them. So beasts and cattle, we can look at them differently. Notice this, creeping things. Some of us don't like that. And flying fowl. So all this animal life, we're just, you know, there's not enough time to put everything down in his creation, but it's a pretty good picture if you paint that big painting here on the wall here. Everything above and everything down here is what we're talking about. Now the hardest part's coming up right here. Take a look at verse 11 if you would. Kings of the earth, what are they to do? They're to praise him. They're to praise him. And all, notice that, all people. That takes in everybody.
That's right.
Some people tell us, well, I don't believe in Christian God. I have some other God. The Bible tells us there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me.
Right.
And, you know, when we take this the scriptures as authoritative from God, and it's not that it's an act of faith, but there's plenty of things that prove it to us when we experience this. We experience our faith. We experience his creation. We experience things that prove also that it's real to us. And one of the ways we can do that is just look at the nation of Israel and look at things that have gone on with them and the promises that God made to them and different things like that. I tell you what, it shows us there is a real God and he has a plan. Kings of the earth, verse 11, and all people, princes, notice this, and all judges of the earth. Could you imagine if all the judges of the earth praised God, what a just world we'd have and society we'd have? They're called upon to praise him. There's no exception to any human being, no matter what their rank or, you know, status in society is. They're all to praise him, and they've been created for his glory and honor. And that's the will of God for them to do that. Now, they first have to come to a saving knowledge of him before they can truly praise him in a sincere and proper way. Notice verse 12. Both young men and maidens and old men and children. We see how it's broken out perfectly? I mean, he tells us it's all people, but then he gives us examples. Kings, judges, young men, maidens, old men, children. No exceptions. No exceptions. Take a look, if you would, at verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. You can go to the bank with that. His name alone is excellent. And when we come into a personal relationship with God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, we can understand this. We can enter into this. And when we do, and we examine his creation, and we understand from Revelation why it was created and the purpose of it and why we were created, now we have the capacity to really praise and worship him. People talk about worship teams and praise leaders and all this stuff. And there might be some times where it's okay, but this is born out of a deep relationship with the Creator that causes us to praise him. And I think it behooves us to think about that when we use words like glory to God or praise God or amen or whatever it is. Do we mean that? Good. Are we serious? And if we were, I think it would change our world as far as in a better way. Right. You know what I mean? If all Christians live that way, kind of like the illustration today about the guy with the beer and the Paul Mall, the cigarette, you know, like, don't tell anybody that you're a Christian, you know? So this relationship that we need to truly praise him in sincerity is born out of a personal relationship with him. And it's something like any relationship that's developed and cultivated, and it's caused by us having a relationship with his revealed word and prayer, right? That we come to know him. In fact, if we draw nigh to him, he says he'll draw nigh to us. So we have a part in this that will prepare us so we can praise him and fulfill the will of God for us that he has for us. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth, which he defined that, right? He showed that, broke it all down on the earth. All his creation on earth should worship him, should praise him. And the heaven. And in the psalm, you see that two-point outline. Everything above and everything below, it's all in there, and it's all to praise the Lord. And the conclusion of this psalm is found in verse 14, praise the Lord, which is also the beginning and the ending of this psalm, and also Psalm 146, Psalm 147, Psalm 148, Psalm 149, and Psalm 150. Now, in these other psalms, there's other great spiritual truths that could be spoken of. Some of our manners of worship with instruments, for instance, which we use with pianos and other things, organs and things like that. Excuse me when I get going here. Getting a little. One of my favorites is found in 150 verse 5. Let's back up to verse 4. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Can you imagine that? You know, like a huge cymbal. You ever see that? Like this. I just let you know that if you're going to do that, just let your pastor know ahead of time that you're planning on praising him with the loud cymbals. And for you hunters, I'll give a good illustration here. My best buddy and hunting buddy, a saved guy we have a lot of good fellowship with. He owns a property. He's got a deck, and he looks out on this pasture, and he sees something out there. I forget what it was. He was going to shoot it. And so he takes his .30-06. His wife is sitting out there, mind you. He doesn't think about the fact that she's sitting there and has no idea he's going to shoot this cannon right beside her. And he's, and scares her to death. So my point is, if we're going to praise him with some of these instruments, we got to let others know we're going to do it. You know what I mean? But we can see from the scriptures that praise, that, you know, we see these things that are illustrated here. Praise him for his mighty acts in Psalm 150, verse 2. According to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Sometimes we have trumpets we play in churches with appropriate music. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. All those things we can praise him with are manners to what? To glorify and praise our Creator that we've been talking about. And you know, when we know him and have a proper relationship with him, it takes care of these problems of having worldly worship and worldly things that, because that's us. That's something that's appealing to our flesh rather than worshiping our Creator. I'm going to ask you in closing, if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at this, the exaltation of Jesus. The exaltation of Jesus found in verse 9. These are wonderful verses. If you're saved, you understand this. Verse 9, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly, notice that, exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You know what we're talking about, right? That at the name that is, which is above every name, that at the name, verse 10, of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth. You see that? Yeah. Heaven and earth. The Psalms instructing us to praise him, his whole creation. Jesus' exaltation noted here, that he's been given a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, which means Savior. Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And who is that for? All people, kings and judges, and you know, boys and girls and leaders, world leaders, and all those things that we could pull into this text. But when you know him, you're happy to do that. You know what I mean? When you have a relationship with him, it's not that hard to praise him. If you're walking with him and you know him as the true and living God, that he's real in our life. And that relationship, from our standpoint, we need to develop with him. And that comes with through the scriptures and prayer and walking with him, and also walking in a way that would be pleasing to him. So this name of Jesus, the exalted name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. Notice this in verse 11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Right there is some praise and material for us. If you can say, I trusted Jesus as my Savior, you've got plenty to praise him about. It just might take a little self-reflection just to think of a few things we could praise him for, but I bet you we could make a big list just off this day right here. You know what I mean? We could, couldn't we? I mean, it says that praise, as it says in Psalm 33 there, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely. In other words, it's attractive for the upright, for his children. It's attractive, it's comely that we praise him. It's something we should do, and we are ultimately fulfilling the purpose of his creation. So it's an honor and a privilege for us to do that. Yes. It's really an honor and a privilege for us to live for him. Yeah. It's an honor and a privilege for us to serve him. It's an honor and a privilege for us to support, you know, the ministry that he's given us, whatever it might be. Those things are, you know, sometimes people look at it and say, I'm going to give up all this stuff. You're going to get so much by doing that. You will never think like that again. If you get, you know what I mean? You might, but you know what I mean? It just, you're that place of blessing where you can truly praise in him. Man, I think this psalm is powerful personally. I think that creation is something that's vitally important that we present when we can to unbelievers. In the beginning, God created. And that's not the God that you choose or the God. It's the God of the Bible. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, you know, Jacob, Isaac. It's the God of the Bible that we know from the scriptures. That's the one that we know. That's the one that we praise. That's the one that in him there is no sin. There's no unrighteousness. There's nothing evil or anything like that in him. That's the one we worship. And so when we look at it like that and we see that his whole creation has been made for him and we have a place in it, we're ready, we're prepared, as long as we know him and we understand these things, it's pretty easy to say, thank you, Lord. And it's kind of, when you think of praise and thanksgiving, they're kind of go together. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard. How can you praise him and not be thankful? You know, and that's one of the things that we as Christians should do is we need to be a thankful people. You know, there's a lot of things we should do. We should be praying people, Bible reading people. But we should be thankful people. That's right. And we should be a praising people. Now, just in closing, if there's any chance there's anyone here that's not, doesn't understand this or doesn't see it, or maybe you're interested in it, I'm sure there'd be plenty of people here be happy to talk to you after the service. But this relationship that we're describing here starts the moment you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Yeah.
It starts right there. That's the starting point. And then a life develops out of that where we can truly praise and glorify Him and fulfill the will He has for us. The will that's perfect and good and acceptable is what He tells us in the Scriptures. I mean, that's a good offer. And yet, human nature is to reject that.
Yeah.
Because they're comfortable with sin and the things that they know. But the best offer you have, if you don't know Jesus, is to trust Him right now. Today is the day of salvation. Right this moment.
Right. Amen.
The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's not like, in 3 weeks you'll be saved. You'll be saved right now.
Yeah.
So we challenge you, if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, to trust Him now, to call upon Him in faith and believe when He died on that cross, where He said, "It is finished, it's finished." When He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by me," that's the truth. You can go to the bank with that.
Yes.
It'll change your life. And then you'd understand why this is so important to read this book and have a relationship with it and let it speak to our hearts. And to expect Him to speak to us. The Bible is not one of those things where, I think I'll take a speed reading course so I can read the Bible through in the year faster. You know what I mean? It's not like that. It's to read it and say, "Lord, show me from Your Word something for my benefit and the benefit of others. And really for Your glory." So, and I try to do that in my church, try to encourage people. Got to have a relationship with the book. It's got to be a part of your life. And boy, if it is, it'll give peace that you can't get anywhere else.
Right.
You have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You know how many people want that, but they're not willing to trust Jesus as their Savior? And yet it's a free gift that He offers. He offers salvation as a free gift.
Yes.
To all those that receive it. Gifts are meant to be received, not worked for or, like things like that. They're meant to be received by someone. And He offers that gift to you tonight if you've never trusted Him. For us, we look at this psalm and I stand amazed. He just painted this gigantic picture of His whole creation and showed us all these different aspects, beautifully laid out, two points there, the heavens and the earth. And the purpose of that all is to praise Him. And we have a part in that as His children. And when we go to prayer, we can say, "Father," and it's true. Can you imagine that? Father, man, it's amazing. Brother, I'll turn it over to you. Thank you.